Legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money,
and controversial.
If driving to the roads is a case in the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is
and a brilliant Friday afternoon to everyone. Shaku Maku and a happy new year. And the public square is set to roll. And Ayobe is in the building. Hello, Ayo. Good afternoon.
Hello, Aroho. And happy new year to you and to all the listeners as well.
Excellent. And we've missed everyone in the square. And it's such a great first Friday in the public square to have Ayo kickstart things for us very quickly, even though I and I have been, you know, back and forth on several issues already.
That's true. Excellent. Well, for this first episode of the year, Aroho, we are going to be looking at, because it's the first episode, we're going to be looking at some of the things that are coming up in the year 2022. Mm. And I'm happy to say that I have as my guest to discuss some of those things that may raise ideas, issues, you know, integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability. I have as my guest Richard Akinola, who is a judicial correspondent of long standing, and he's also an activist. So I hope Richard is on the line.
Yes.
Hi, Richard.
Afternoon, how are you?
Thank you so much for joining us, and I also wish you a happy new year. But is it going to be a happy new year? Is it going to be an interesting new year? Let's look at some of the things that are going to be coming up this year.
Yes.
I mean, the one that occurred to me, first of all, because it's so much on the front burner, is the Electoral Act Amendment Bill, which is pending before the President and really is kind of like the Kickstarter. But it raises issues not just about our democracy and about our, but also about the integrity of the democratic process. What's your view on the issues that this is going to raise?
Well, it's unfortunate that the National Assembly do not override the presidential veto. Well, even after the president declined to sign the bill. To have a consultation with the constituents, and which frame is for for surrender. So for more education, I mean, I can't see any way out how the National Assembly will override the president. And that puts the whole process into uncertainty, because the National Assembly members are on recess, and I assume they are going to resume session later this month, and thereafter, and before they start considering the objections raised by the President. But the fallout of that is that it will drop a couple of issues in terms of integrity of the whole process, of the whole electoral process. For example, there are two state governorship elections this year. The first one, APT, is in June,
yes,
and followed by Osun State. Now, by the INEC timetable, by the end of this month, the primaries of the political parties for Ekiti also are taking place by the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with INEC not having benefit of having a copy of the electoral act, so it put the whole process in abeyance. Because, for example, beyond the issue of direct or no direct primary, there are other interesting positions. For example, the issue of electronic transmission of results. So these are some of the issues that will impact on the integrity of the election process. For example, if that bill had been signed to law and it's been kind of test run in Ekiti, then to be perfected in Osun State. But at this time, the whole process has been been speculative, because until the National Assembly members come back, which we the issue of integrity of the whole process.
Well, Richard, don't you think that with the President's assurance in his interviews that he gave over the last 2 days, that if the National Assembly were to restore choice, not that it should remove the option of direct primaries, but that if it were to restore the choice of having direct, indirect, or consensus methods, that he would sign the bill. Don't you think that that puts the onus on the National Assembly to get its finger out, deal with that, and then send it back to the President? Because then they've clearly not got the votes to override his veto.
That should have been a problem in the first place. Because, you have a party that has the majority in both houses, both sides at the House of Reps. So if the issue of just amending the that clause of direct, indirect, direct, or consensus, depending on the process that each party wants to undertake, that should have been a problem that the National Assembly will have to adjourn till the purport to be trying to see the process of their consent. So, it's a very simple thing. Quite frankly, if they are trying to us in the part of this bill.
Well, Richard, don't you remember that before they went on recess, the Senate was, although as I said, it to me it would have been easy to just remove the offending clause and then try and revisit it later. But at the time, the Senate was talking tough and saying that they have signatures and so on. I don't know what that says about the ethics of those who signed whatever it was that they signed. But when it came to the vote in the National Assembly, those people who were signing whatever they signed were nowhere to be found.
I didn't think that serious in the first place when I read that story. That the number of people collected signatures, they want to override the president. I didn't think that serious. The kind of Senate that we have, very pliable, it's not possible for them to override the president. I want to be realistic. But having said that, but if the president has raised this objection and he communicates with them, okay, this is my main objection, it doesn't take them one day.
Well, as I said, unfortunately, they were posturing and talking as though they were going to override the veto.
I think you are just going to the general party. It's not different. Lawan led Senate is not popular.
They
behave like an appendage of the executive anyway.
Let's assume that the President is a man of his word and the National Assembly does indeed remove the offending clause. The President has said he would sign it. Do you feel that the amendments, how do you see them impacting the integrity of the electoral process? Because although, as you pointed out, the primaries have to take place and they may have to take place under this option whereby you have the choice of using direct primaries or some other method of selecting your flag bearer for the elections. But that the elections themselves, there will still be plenty of time for INEC to introduce any electronic measures, including the electronic voting, which electronic transmission of results, I should say, which they already have, but which will now have the force of law backing them if it comes to litigation on the matter.
Yes. But in respect of APC and Osun State, that may be a bit difficult because that will alter the whole test of time. But by the end of this month, 29th of this month, primary also are taking place in APC.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that even though the primaries may take place under the existing electoral legislation, by the time it comes to the elections, INEC, which already has the method of electronic transmission of results, it's simply that evidence cannot be used in a court of law if it comes to litigation or electoral election petition. Yes. So it's not that they're going to have to develop new technology in order to abide by the amended Electoral Act.
But the fact that it was strengthening the whole process, if that it had been fine, because I recall that the litigation in respect of River State, outside of Zamfara, and Abia State, in 2020, the issue of Hadrida was the main issue. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court said that, look, it's a nice situation, but it has to be ingrained in the Electoral Act.
Yes.
So even at the electoral transition, I mean, yeah, it's a nice idea, but until it is put in the law, I mean, anybody who goes to court or to tribunal, I mean, to challenge the court, I mean, that regard will not, cannot succeed. But beyond the electoral, I mean, transition result, but I'm still talking about your primaries now. But because there's no way, even if that assembly comes now and signs, I mean, and make the amendment based on what the president said, and that each party is free to adopt any mode of primary, it's very difficult for INEC to even to start, because already the title is already out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and parties are already, their mind is made up on the mode of primary they want to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe subsequently for next year's election, because of course, this year, candidates must emerge. I mean, so maybe subsequently, towards the end of the year, I mean, if that may be possible.
So this year, 2022, we should still look forward to integrity in our democracy. But can I turn to another issue which is not necessarily directly connected with elections, and that we're also expecting this year, and that is that in June, the federal government says that it is removing subsidy from the pump price of petroleum. And I wonder, because, you know, this has been an accountability issue for the longest time in Nigeria. And I wonder whether you feel that there are issues that we should expect in terms of accountability or indeed of ethics and integrity when it comes to the removal of subsidy that is coming up.
But don't forget that the issue of subsidy has been a major issue of accountability for a long time.
Yes.
Our subsidy, because even though the president was campaigning in 2014, he said, don't let me. And the president will keep hearing that trillions and trillions are being paid on a regular basis as subsidy. So, I mean, the issue of academics will definitely know that about it. Because how much actually is this so-called subsidy? Because NFC will ban the different figures, Lai Mohammed will ban the different figures. Somebody actually knows how much are we paying for this subsidy.
All we know is that a huge amount goes out of the national coffers in the name of subsidy.
In the name of subsidy. So really a serious issue of accountability. So now that they claim that they want to remove the subsidy, how are you going to convince Nigerians?
Well, it's difficult because you remember that last year during the complete crash of the oil price, the government came out boldly and said that this is the chance that we are taking to remove subsidy. And of course, at that time, the impact of the removal of subsidy, as we were told, meant that the price of oil went down or was supposed to have gone down. Now, when we talk about integrity and accountability, it comes down to whether people trust government, because the government says it's got some palliatives in mind. Do we have that level of trust that we should to have?
Absolutely.
That the subsidy will in fact be removed, and that the government will completely hands off.
No, absolutely. Because even the issue of when the people talk about renewable subsidy, they talk about smoking. And the question people ask is that, well, it's not like something like a matchbox. We are talking about tankers in trains, in hundreds. So who polices the border? What's the double of customs?
I think that would be the federal government of Nigeria that polices the border.
Exactly. So this is what is done there.
I mean, I wanted to say, Richard, or to because, you know, we're all very conscious of what is happening in Kazakhstan right now, when the people have raised their voice against doubling, if quite frankly, of the price of fuel. And I wonder whether with the Nigeria Labour Congress, we look to seeing this a similar kind of reaction. Will the government stand firm? Will it resort to the kind of methods that we are seeing in Kazakhstan, shoot at sight and all the rest of it?
Unfortunately, the Nigerian Labour Congress doesn't have that reputation again.
Mm-hmm.
Because over time, they'll make all the necessary noise for all the hypes and grandstanding, we are going to shut down the economy, I'm going to shut down the whole nation, and the next thing you read that, they have been called up after, supposed negotiation or whatever. So, the fact that people don't have confidence in the NLC, that's the thing, no matter what NLC says.
So the integrity of the NLC is also on the line when we consider, because you could see that for the NSARS demonstrations, the NLC was not allowed to have a hand in it.
At all.
And so that it may be that by saying that they're going to have demonstrations before the end of this month, that there may be some measure of let's get control of this, rather than leave it in the hands of Nigeria's unruly and unled youth.
There is any demonstration, it's just the Nigerians, just like the NSAS protest.
Yes.
And not the NLC-led protest, because, as I said, NLC has lost so much of credibility in terms of protest, because even when they try it, it takes place in one or two places, one or two days, and they have been suspended after a bunch of negotiation, blah blah blah. But the fact that NLC doesn't have the credibility, that's the fact.
That's the truth. Well, Richard, I want to thank you. I mean, apparently we only were able to look at one or two of the issues that are coming up this year. I'm sure that as the year goes on, that there will be many more that raise issues of integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability.
Yeah, sure.
And I hope that we'll be able to get you back to discuss those with us in the future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
There you are. All right.
And it's back to you, Agogo.
Absolutely. And thank you very much again, Richard, and have a fantastic week. And Ayo, the square is open now. Rotimi is going to join in shortly, and we can have a look at the president's media interviews. All right. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We will be right back.